It's Friday, June 18th, 2021, and you're listening to episode 572 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 50 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
And this is not Brodor, who didn't show up today.
Yeah, we don't know where Brodor...
Oh, we know where he's at.
Well, we have our theories.
He is in a haze of totally legal smoke.
Yes, yes.
Totally legal smoke?
Totally legal smoke. Yes.
So, yeah, right now, Brodor, we don't know for a fact. We actually don't know where the heck he is. Right. I'm actually a little worried, but all we know is Brodor... We're assuming he's in kind of a purple haze at the moment. Right. And beyond that, we honestly don't know. So, continue.
And I'm Chad.
And this is Julia.
All right. So, we got at least the three of us. So, we're going to continue in this episode talking about what we started last episode. In last episode, we talked about what we had experienced during our COVID isolation, lockdown, whatever you want to call it, where we got more into online gaming and what our positive and negative experiences were. And it's been interesting, even in the early conversation, to hear how much that resonated with people, which it always surprises me which of our shows get traction and which ones don't, because it's never the ones I think.
Right.
It was only because I was back on. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, that's a huge, huge, huge draw. It's our number one draw. In fact, our listenership dropped almost nothing during your hiatus.
Right.
But so now we're going to talk about the other side of that, which is now, at least here, we are able to move back to in-person gaming and what our thoughts are on the reentry into the gaming space. Now, before we dig into that, one quick announcement, which is Fear the Con Online number 3 is coming up. And I don't have Wayne here to recite all the details for me, but I will put a link in the show notes to the relevant stuff. So even though I suck at giving you information live, so to speak, I will give you the information in the show notes. So it is there.
I will say too, I was talking to Zylo. Him and Wayne are the ones who are putting this on, organizing it. I was talking to Zylo yesterday. We were chatting about it. Just want to let people know too, that it's not just role-playing games, right? So Zylo is running a board gaming event too, using Tabletop Simulator, and anybody can set that up as well.
Yeah.
So also it can be platform agnostic as well. So it's not, if you think, well, I'm not big into Roll20 and I'm into this other stuff, and so this is online. No, it's all these other platforms as well. The game master chooses what platform they want, if any platform at all. Maybe it's just a channel where we're talking.
There's also something that was done with the previous ones that we should definitely do again this year, which is if you are setting up an event, please specify what, if any, technologies you're going to need. So if this is going to be like, hey, you need Discord, headset, and mic, put that in the game description or something. If they're going to need Tabletop Simulator, put that in the game description, because I'd hate for people to show up and either A, not be able to play at all, or B, waste half your gaming set aside time trying to fight with technical issues, which I'm sure is going to happen anyway, but whatever. Let's at least make a good effort.
There's a mic check event before the con as well. At least there was last year. I'm sure there'll be.
Good idea.
Yeah. So once again, check the show notes for links, because even if I'm terrible about remembering this when I go to put it together, I promise you I will give you that information. Yep. So,
and big shout out to both Wayne and Zylo.
Yes, huge thank you to them for their effort in this. It is awesome they're doing this. Much love for that. So we really hope you guys will support this. All right, so let's get into the topic for today, which is reentering the gaming space. Julia, let's go ahead and start with your point, which you threw at me before we started recording, which is, you want to set this up or you want me to?
I have a feeling that everybody is probably going to experience at least a few people that are not comfortable being in person and or coming into your home without a mask.
Yeah.
So I think we should talk about how you handle that. Like, what would you do? I mean, personally, I have such an inviting space that I'm fine with whatever. Mm-hmm. But there could be people that's a problem. So I thought it would be a good topic to talk about. Because it is tough.
Well, it will be. Because, I mean, there's going to be some people who just say on one extreme, they don't feel safe for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And
well, even if, like, look at it this way. Everybody at your table is vaccinated. And everybody's coming in. We're all fully vaccinated. It's life back to normal. And one person comes in. They're wearing a mask. And they kind of want to sit distance, even though they're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make them uncomfortable.
Right.
Because they have been wearing a mask for a year.
Yeah.
This is
habits take time to unlearn.
This is a traumatic year for everyone.
Yes.
You have to be gentle. Don't be like, well, get the hell out of my house. We're done. We beat this. We're finally here. He's into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
People, there's a lot of people that had a lot of hard time in this past year.
Yeah. And if someone had those concerns, you know, be respectful, let mm-hmm. it go. But yeah, these are habits that people have spent a lot of time mm-hmm. stuck in and a lot of time doing. And everyone processed it in a different way and handled it a different way. And if these are your friends, these are your gaming buddies, I hope you got love for them.
Right.
And I hope part of that is you can respect wherever they're at. And as long as it's reasonable, do your best yeah. to accommodate those concerns. I mean, if they don't want to share a glass with you or sit 3 inches from your face or make out between rolls, then...
maybe you're a hugger and maybe getting your friends are back now and you can't, just can't wait to hug them. Maybe some of your friends just aren't ready for that yet. Yeah.
You're a handshaker.
Yeah.
Maybe you live in one of the countries that's more affectionate than America in certain parts of mm-hmm. Western Europe. And you're from some place like, I don't know, South America or Italy mm-hmm. or something like that. And people kiss on the cheek. I don't know. Right. Just respect what people yeah. are willing to accept.
Well, and we already have the technology. So if somebody's not comfortable showing up, it's not that hard to just set them up at the table with their face on a computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done it for years because we had a lot of military people mm-hmm. in our game. So we got really used to just always having somebody on the screen. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the second one that I was thinking about, and we talked about this a little bit last episode, but I want to drill into it a little bit more, is neglected gaming space. Now, I have not been to my office at work in 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
I have.
I know. I was.
I took pictures.
Yes, I was the first person in my area that was sent home because my boss's boss found out I had been in Reno for Gamma
mm-hmm.
and told me not to come into the office. And
oh,
so
wow.
I was yeah. the first person in my area, even though I did not have COVID,
mm-hmm.
To be kicked out of the office. And I have not been there in a year and 2 months.
There's now, a lot of dead plants.
Oh, yeah.
There was no, like, creepy growing fungus food that was left out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dead plants.
I actually, speaking of that, I just read an article where a woman came back to her office and mice had infested their office ate all of her snacks in her drawer and pooped in it.
Oh, yeah.
So neglected gaming space.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you do some checks.
I actually just did last week after we did a recording. Chad and I did a real quick
yeah.
patrol
Wasn't
of the gaming
chocolate
space.
In there?
Oh, there was snacks in there. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Those last a while.
So we had to throw out some snacks. We just kind of look at the table, and especially now that we're hoping to improve the recording mm-hmm. arrangement in there for the actual play, we're probably going to need to replace the table with one that better accommodates the mics. And
look at it this way. When this whole thing started and the lockdown started happening, Dan and I, a year ago, went through and cleaned out the room. We were like, this food's going to spoil because we had stuff that it would not keep.
Right.
And so we're like, OK, we threw it away. Well, like Dan said, about a week or so ago, we did the same thing and we found stuff we missed.
Yeah.
We're not messy people. So if you think your gaming space is pristine and clean,
probably not.
No.
Now, our gaming space is my dining room, which so
well,
it's clean.
Yeah, that's gonna be different.
Well, we've got a dry erase board in there that has the Brodeur No list. Now,
that's tattooed on that thing.
Bingo. Yeah. The only thing that will take this off.
Alcohol.
Is exactly. It's isopropyl alcohol. That's the only thing that will mm-hmm. get dry erase that's been on there that long.
That was
off.
Another thing at the office is that everybody had all these whiteboards that had all this project info on it.
Yeah.
From projects that were done a year ago that are now tattooed on the whiteboards.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have gaming stuff on their walls or on dry erase boards. I bet it'd be interesting.
Well,
everybody should take pictures.
If you've got play mats or if you do like tactiles or whatever and you had a dry erase little dungeon map on there.
It exists on there now.
I hope you.
That's a permanent location.
Yeah.
There's a
I hope you have a campaign set up that occurs in one dungeon.
There's a bunch of people who are listening to this right now who are like, what in the hell are they talking about? Because like Julia and myself, we don't have a dedicated gaming space. It's our dining room. It's my dining room.
Yeah.
Right? You, Dan, have a dedicated gaming space. There are people out there who have these rooms in their homes that they never go into
unless they're gaming.
A game.
Well,
yeah.
Even if you do have rooms you go into, I still think there are going to be, and maybe we can make this its own bullet point, the gaming resources, which may not be a physical location, but like we're talking about, the dry erase boards, the battle maps, the snacks. When we were gaming at Pat and Bess, those all years back, we had dedicated snack storage space.
Yep.
And every so often we would check it and purge it. And it was just part of gaming there. We never went through a period of 14 months where we just ignored it. Along those lines, this is something where everybody should have been chipping in always, but now maybe people need to chip in a little bit more. If you have a snack stash, that it's snack stash is probably no good. And if you're trying to refill from nothing, this is not about an incremental, okay, this one bag is stale, let's throw it out and replace it with this one. You're starting fresh. Everyone, please be polite to whoever hosts that or whoever in your group is responsible for filling that. And it would be great if everyone brought a little bit of something to add back to that stockpile.
You know what my snack stash is? Because I feed my group, right?
Me too. I'm cupcake them usually.
Yeah, I'm really big. So nobody ever needs to like bring food. My snack stash is Wayne's f***ing Diet Pepsi. He has one plastic bottle, like that's the big lid, the hand, I don't know how, I haven't drank so in years, I don't even know how big that is.
A liter?
A liter, I guess, it's the smaller one, that he brings in this Diet Pepsi, and he puts it in my refrigerator, and then he takes the Diet Pepsi, single one Diet Pepsi that he had left last week,
and
drinks that, and so there's a goddamn Diet Pepsi in my refrigerator, and no one in my house drinks soda.
But that's probably because he has to have a diet. And just in case you don't have an option. Yes. I get it.
Yeah.
I've had gestational diabetes. You start to carry diet soda around with you.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I agree. Like, I think that that is a big thing for me is that I always provided a lot of stuff for my gaming group. Yeah. So I always liked it when people brought, I felt good when people brought stuff. Now, I didn't have a stash. Normally, people just brought small stuff and then just ate it while they were there. But yeah, for sure. Pitch in.
Yeah.
Get a fund.
Mm-hmm.
GoFundMe for gaming snacks.
Not everybody is like Julie and I, where we are possessed by the spirits of 50s housewives and just have this uncontrollable urge to cook for people. I'm going to have the fattest grandchildren on the planet. I will just keep feeding them and feeding them.
I mean, Saturday, Dan came over and I cooked for him with bare feet in my kitchen.
I mean, look how skinny he is.
I know.
I mean, you got to put some meat on him.
I got to put meat on him.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really obscene joke I'm not going to make.
But, well, like I was saying, though, not everybody is like Julie and I.
Yeah.
So if you have a snack stash, please contribute to it.
Yeah.
Or if you don't, and you still don't have people like Julie and I who just love cooking for people, maybe it's a good time to start one. Mm-hmm. This is a good opportunity to start some new traditions.
That's a great one. I love that. Let's start fresh.
Yeah.
Sit down. Well, excuse the pun, not literally sit down, but start up an email or a Discord chat or something, whatever you do with your gaming buddies and say, look, what was working, what wasn't at the social level? Do we maybe need to start some new traditions?
Let's do the new tradition of Chris Hussey wears pants to gaming. Though.
Precisely. Oh. Pants and underwear. And pants that are of the correct size.
If he's wearing pants, how would you know he's wearing underwear?
Because there's a check beforehand. It's legally required in this state.
In this state and at least 13 others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a black light involved. That's
I have to post a little crimson warning in my window.
This is why he lives in a different state from us, and we're very happy about that.
Precisely, yeah. And that's, yeah, exactly. Chris and the Crimson Pumpkin. We did an entire show about it. And, but yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. Is ask around and say, hey, is there a tradition we should start that maybe one person is always stuck bringing the snacks? Let's change that up. Or maybe something about the space you're gaming in. Is it working? Is there a way that we can change it up?
Yeah.
That
even like little things like, you know, hey, guys, I know we have this tradition of everybody takes home their character sheet. But, you know, half the time you guys forget to bring it. Why don't we start a folder here? And we'll just keep the character sheets here. What do you guys think of that? Because so many things are baked in. Groups have problems. I'm not talking big, huge drama. I'm talking like people taking their character sheets home and not bringing them back. But groups have these traditions that are like baked in that nobody even thinks about. Like, why do you do that? Why does everyone take their character sheet home? I don't know. That's what we did in our last group. And so that's what we started. Now is the time to reassess some of that stuff because they're minor annoyances. Now is a perfect opportunity to correct that.
Agreed.
Wayne, the goddamn Diet Pepsi.
Another one is I think you should accept that your first gathering may be a total wash.
Oh, yeah. Don't expect anything on your first in-person.
Because this may be the first time a substantial number of these people have seen each other face-to-face in a very long time. And even if they've been keeping up with each other electronically or whatever,
it's still different.
It's still different. And
this was a
we are not going to allow Chad and Brandon to sit next to each other or across from each other.
You cannot stop our bro love. So this was going to actually be a major point that I was going to bring up. We were supposed to game Blades in the Dark in person for the first time in over a year last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. Brodor got sick. Eric's car broke down. Eric's is Brandon's ride. We could have done it remote, but I'm like, no, I'm done with remote. I played the little bitch card. I'm like, I had a busy day at work. We're just not going to do it. But that aside, usually what I do is if I can manage it, everybody gets together at X time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give them a half hour. I say, we're going to start at this time. And then I give it a half hour. I give it a half hour for everyone to work out their stuff and to talk. And then I reel it in. I'm like, okay, guys, let's do the thing. I was thinking all week leading up to that, because of this episode that we had dropped previously, that I would have a story of how that went. Unfortunately, I can't tell you how it went because we didn't do it. But I was like, a half hour is not going to be enough. These guys have not seen each other. We have not talked and been face to face for over a year.
It's almost like you need a non-session. Right. Like, let's sit around and bullshit. And we'll talk about our character. Let's play cards. Let's get like kind of back in the zone.
Start making out.
At least have low
expectations. Brandon's beard. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. And this is why you're going to be sitting. I'm sorry. What was that first? Cattywampus or something?
Cattywampus.
That's.
I had an old lady say that, and it shocked me.
Oh my god! My mom
me.
Is an old lady who says that.
Really?
I've never heard anyone else.
I had to look it up to see if that was a real phrase or
it is.
It is.
Yep.
It was like the old lady who ran the gift shop at the hotel that Mike worked at when we first started dating. Said cattywampus, and I was like, "What?
God, I wonder if my mom knows her."
I mean, she's never mind. Go ahead. I don't want to be heartless.
But I don't think you should come in necessarily with the expectation that you are certainly not going to game.
Yeah.
But I would just say, have that unpucker moment where you're like, you know what? It may not happen, or maybe it's only going to be an hour. And if you're the game master, I would have your game prepared such that, okay,
this is not going to be the big bad ending fight or the big moment.
Well, fine, even if it does. But make sure there are plenty of save points and checkpoints along the way where
stop off.
If these people are really intense and we do 4 hours or 12 hours or whatever your gaming group does, boom, there it is. But at the same time, if people just want to socialize and jack around and all we get through is an hour, great. Write your plot such that there is a checkpoint in about an hour of game material where you can say, okay, at least we broke the ice. Right. We got together. We got past the first kiss between Chad and Brandon, and we can go home now.
Many.
You also have to keep in mind that people game differently in person versus virtual. Mm-hmm. So somebody who maybe is a lot more boisterous of a character online might not be in person. So they may need some time to get used to that too. Yeah. Like all of a sudden their character could completely change. So make sure you're on top of that, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually really good advice I hadn't thought of, because that's one of my weaknesses as a game master is when I believe I have an understanding of a person's character. And this is like well into a campaign, right? I have an understanding of a person's character, their personality and such. And then I'm kind of tailoring the game around that. And then maybe they're in a mood that day. They had a bad day at work and something changed. And this happy, boisterous character where I'm going to have them meet the little princess of the king so they can get some information, because the happy, boisterous bard is going to charm the little princess and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a fun scene. And they are just like, I'm not talking to that brat. Are you kidding me? Let's go kill something.
You know, do you think
that is my kryptonite as a game master? My game falls, and it's not the player's fault. It's my fault. My games fall apart when that happens.
So let me ask you guys a question, and I don't think this is going to be true for us, but given the fact that it's been a year to a year and a half of very, very difficult times, and depending on where you're at in the world, it may or may not be winding down or maybe winding up. So, and we're not going to get into that. Because
not all of us can live in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. This is not what the show's about, so we're not going to get into any of that. But the point being, though, it has been a long break. People change.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't.
No.
I'm great all the time.
I do have a whole thing I could do on that. But no, actually, you don't change a whole lot. And that's one of the wonderful things about you. But in that amount of time, living potentially under a lot of emotional, financial, or interpersonal distress, I don't know what people have been through.
People have lost jobs.
People developed addictions, developed mental illnesses. I mean, things have happened, okay? And depending on the group and who's in it and what they've been through, there may be a readjustment phase.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or people get back together and they're not quite who you remember.
Right. Yeah,
because shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like PTSD.
Yeah. And depending on the person, it may be minor. It could just be little quirks they've picked up to all the way up to radical changes in their life and personality and anywhere in between to, I don't know, maybe they're resilient or whatever the case is. And this whole thing didn't affect them at all. I don't know. But I think it helped in our case because we still kept at least in some contact between doing the show, doing the AP
our
remotely.
Our friend group practiced the pod thing. And I'm not going to debate whether it was good or bad or indifferent, but
It's done.
We did it. And we did very controlled pods. And we kept face-to-face with a certain amount of people at certain times. And that helped us a lot.
Right.
Not everybody could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan was part of our bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, he would come over and do Chinese days with us and hang out.
I think that's something that you have to account for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can totally plan for it because people are complicated. And it's going to be hard to predict precisely what's going to happen and how people are going to act. Or you know what? Maybe people haven't changed that much, but they're just under so much individual stress.
Well, I was
that when you put them in a room together, somebody just snaps.
And you have to control yourself, too. Like, I believe we just gave a bunch of good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe we just gave an equal amount of bad advice saying the same thing.
Right.
From the perspective of you have people coming over for your game and Fear the Boot said all this stuff and they were right. And it's cool. And you're doing all this stuff, but everything's fine. Nothing's changed. Everyone's cool. You're going to have a great game.
You get right down to gaming. There's no social time.
But Fear the Boot, those just got you all wound up and twisted.
Yeah. Okay. So, fair point.
But it is good advice, but breathe.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I should emphasize is all of these things ought to be cooked to flavor, cooked to taste based on your situation, your group. Mm-hmm. These are things to consider.
Yep.
These are not things to create a checklist out of.
Yeah, this is not FTB 9000.
Yeah, this is just things to consider is don't have a lot of expectations about the game or the interpersonal interactions because it has been a while and it's been a period of life and people change anyway. But this has been a uniquely stressful period, at least within our epoch of time. And people are going to come into this and it may be difficult to plan exactly what's going to go down. And I think you do have to be prepared to take a deep breath and to reassess some things or to let some things work out or just kind of accept that it's like reintroducing any people after a long period of time. The best thing you can do is take it slow and accept maybe it'll be the same thing and you pick up right where you left off like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have to create something new. I don't know. Or maybe it doesn't work at all anymore. Maybe something happened and somebody changed the way I don't know.
I still think the best advice is if it works out logistically, that first night, don't role play.
Yeah.
Play cards. Hang out.
Well, and like
dinner.
I said, or even just talk about the campaign again. Like just get in the mood for it. Talk about it. Talk about the things that happened. Talk about your character or like, this is the time to iron out any concerns you had to at the same time about the game. Like, I don't like where my character's going. Great. We can deal with this, you know?
Yeah. I think that a lot of people are going to be making the mistake, though, of saying, well, no, it's going to be fine. I mean, we have been gaming. The game never stopped. We just did it virtually.
It's different.
I cannot reiterate this enough. And I think that there's people out there who are going to think that, oh, well, Chad just hates online gaming and he doesn't understand what it's like. I don't care. It's different. It is totally different. So, yeah, you know, there may be an adjustment point.
Well, let me give you a very, very simple way in which it's different.
Can't touch Brandon's beard.
Well, in our current setup of gaming, one of the things that we've been doing is on a set time interval, let's take a 3-minute everyone go to the bathroom break. That works because we're in different houses and have our own bathrooms.
Right.
We cannot all run into the bathroom at once and try not to cross the streams.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could.
I mean, we're guys.
I would really appreciate it.
Boy Scouts. So.
I would appreciate it if you guys didn't. But
that's a bonus episode there. Things Julie didn't realize dudes did until she heard him on Fear in the Boot.
Have you ever met a dude? We're scum.
Yeah. There are some urban myths about what kids do, males, men, young boys do growing up.
People with penises.
Yes. I know only one person out of all the male friends I have who has actually participated. Never mind. This is really going negative episode territory.
Like I said, maybe a bonus episode.
Never mind. All right. Sure, negative episode. Yeah. Patreon.com/fearoftheboot. I don't know when we'll do this, but okay. My next one. Do you guys know what a bob is?
I try not to. No.
Okay. So I guarantee you know what a bob is. You just may have never heard it by that term. Do you know what a bug out bag is?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So for anyone who's not familiar with a certain subculture of paranoid Americans, a bug out bag. And by the way, jokes aside,
bug-out bag's a good
everybody
idea.
Everybody should actually recommend it.
Yeah. The CDC, the Federal Emergency Management, Department of Homeland Security, they all recommend everyone should have a bob or a bug-out bag.
Yeah.
Let me explain what that is. A bug-out bag is a bag that already has packed in it the really, really basic supplies you would need to survive for a couple of days.
Yeah, I think it's like 2 days.
It's 3 days.
Three days.
So you have like a solar blanket, a pair of dry socks, waterproof matches.
Like $100.
Yeah, a little bit of food, a couple bottled waters. If you have prescription meds, have a few days of those.
Yeah. And we're not talking like grapes as food.
I'm talking like
non-perishable.
Yes, right, non-perishable foods. We're talking like pemmican.
Yeah,
like,
gosh,
like
leftover fried chicken. Or
I'm scared of what my bob would be with a kid. It's like, here's some like toys, entertainers, shut up.
Baby, though. Well, most parents I know with a baby actually already have the
bob bag. Yeah, for sure.
But
it's the greatest day of my life when I didn't have to carry it around anymore.
My recommendation here is, and I'm just using that as a placeholder, put one together for your first face-to-face game session, not survival supplies. Okay. What I'm talking about is your gaming, your gob.
Your gob.
Yeah.
It's a gob.
Bag. Your game out bag.
So like what you're saying is your dice, your pencils. Because, okay, hey, everybody's here. Cool. We're ready to go. Who's got a pencil? Oh, geez. Where did I leave a pencil?
Remember their character sheet. Oh, crap. Mine's online and it requires a password that's saved in Chrome and I don't have my laptop with me.
I haven't touched dice.
Sync up your Chrome.
Create a checklist of all the things you need to game. Do you need your mini? Because you're not on Roll 20 anymore. If you're playing a game that has minis, put that in a little bag or box or whatever. Mm-hmm. Put your dice in there. If you have Benny chips or whatever it is your game requires, put those in there. Your pencil sharpener. One of the things got me thinking about that when we did a patrol of that room. Do you know what the game room is missing?
What? Chairs?
Well, no, the chair. Well, yes, the chairs roll in there. We're going to consolidate the recording studio and gaming room to one room. But something much simpler, we use probably more than our character sheets. There's no 3x5 note cards left.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right now, simple thing, simple, stupid thing. But those are a huge part. Note passing and private, the real game conversation. Right. That's a huge part of the culture of how we hear game. Hear
our SOG, Blades in the Dark group. That's how we do it.
I didn't even think about this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in making that mental list of what do I use in the course of face-to-face game, it's something like, oh, yeah, those aren't there anymore.
Your checklist, too, is that we use these hard plastic table tents with our characters written on them. Well, we were playing a different game a year ago, and getting back to the dry erase stuff, that is tattooed on there now.
Yeah, no, I actually did clean that off because I also use those for my West Marches game.
Mm.
So actually, they're getting redrawn and erased much more regularly now. Yeah. But I did have to isopropyl them.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get the Skies of Glass character names off there, which you can imagine how some of my family members would have reacted if my youngest nephew had gotten Brodor's with his no list on the back. I had to go down to the bathtub with a thing of isopropyl alcohol and
pour it over it. Let it soak.
Scrub that crap off while my eyes and nose and ears were all burning and bleeding. Not literally.
Well, so most of the girl gamers probably already have a GOB. I'm just saying, like, all of my stuff just stays in like this bag that I have. And Mike, I always end up having to throw all his crap in mine. Yeah. Like, mine's always ready to go. And then he's like, here's my dice and all my stuff. And I'm like,
Get your own. Women are, and we're this is going to be a real broad brush here. Women are really good about nesting.
Oh, yeah.
I nest hard. Gathering things. And so, I never believed it until Dawn got pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And then there comes a point during pregnancy when most women
clean
and nest.
Yes.
And she made, and I'm like, what are you, not, oh, you're cleaning, what are you doing? But it's just, it's hard to describe what they're doing.
Do you know why? Okay, I'm a fairly
I'm nesting. I'm like, what is that?
I'm a fairly well-prepared person, which is something that I picked up from my mom. She's very methodical in how she approaches things, which given her background in medicine,
she had to be. Nurse.
Yeah, exactly. She had to do things like, now she's not what they call a floating nurse, which was someone who would kind of go between, or maybe I'm getting the name wrong. So if you're in the medical profession, excuse me.
Dan, if you're the boot.com.
But there is some kind of like supervisory nurse at the surgical level who goes from OR to OR making sure everything's cool. Mm-hmm. And she was not that. She was actually a physician's first assistant in the surgical center. But one of the things that she would do as part of making sure things were ready to go is look at the spread of tools.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she has to think ahead of, okay, what are we going to need to do this? And what are we going to need when it goes wrong?
Right.
Because if you nick an artery or you find a problem in there you didn't expect.
How do we know? Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have an hour to replan.
Yeah.
You don't use 30 of those little clipper things and say, oh, well, I'm just going to stack 32 of them in case.
No, yeah.
You stack 60.
Yeah. And so you
are what I'm not a medical professional.
Right. You get the point. So that's the correct point, though. And so I picked that up. And this is the reason I love winter, because with my coat pockets, it is the only way I can carry all the things I want to carry.
You got
to
get yourself a man fanny.
Well, I'm not
a man fanny.
A man fanny. A manny. No, that'd be a manicure. Yeah.
A mani-pedi.
But
this is where Dan ruined me. Right. I know that I can be an organized person with all this.
Yeah.
I'm a minimalist, right?
Hey, it doesn't have to be.
I knew him for 30 years. I never carried a pin around with me because
he
I was
always
like,
did.
Dan,
that, I would have said,
you
person.
Have a pin. I knew he had a pin.
I have three on me right now. Here's one in my, one of them is in my hand at the moment.
Exactly.
And all of these came from my left pocket.
Mm-hmm. I am that friend too.
Yeah.
Like I always had everything, snacks, like you name it.
Right.
I always have
and
something.
The only reason I can do this is if I have a coat. I cannot do this. I wish whoever it is that decided that cargo pants and cargo shorts are out of fashion needs to be shot.
Oh, yeah. Mike seeks them out.
Yes.
The only shorts I own are either gym shorts, which are like, whatever, but are cargo shorts because I go hiking.
Yeah.
They're just hard to find.
And I need to carry certain things so I don't die because I do
like
really
a handful
hard
of ticks
hike.
To chew on.
Well, yeah. I mean, because they fight the other ticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're in my beard trying to kill me. So.
Precisely. Yeah. You just set the Lone Star ticks loose on the deer ticks
exactly.
And just see how that works out. Or carry a possum with you.
Yeah.
They eat lots of ticks.
Pocket full of murder hornets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You never know.
If there's a bear, I'm like, murder hornets, I throw them right out of them.
And hope they go that way.
Sounds like an amazing metal song. Pocket full of murder hornets.
Or a Christmas song.
Right. Why not both?
Really deranged. Yeah. Actually, one of the hardest metal songs I've ever heard was White Wine Spritzer.
Sweet.
It's by that O'Killy Do'Killy, the Ned Flanders joke.
Yeah.
Like death metal band. They actually allowed them to perform it in the closing credits of The Simpsons on one episode.
Nice.
And that was the song they picked was White Wine Spritzer.
Nice.
And anyway, but yeah, put together a little package of stuff. And I think if nothing else, the simple exercise of just going down that checklist, like when I'm packing to go on a trip, what I do to make sure I've got everything I need is I go through my morning routine because most people do that pretty much on autopilot anyway. So think, okay, I just got out of bed. What am I doing? Okay. I walk into the bathroom. First thing I do is grab the mouthwash. Okay, mouthwash needs to go in the bag.
Yep.
Then after the mouthwash, I brush my teeth. Okay, toothbrush, toothpaste.
I take nothing.
Well, yeah, you can do that too.
I don't take underwear. I don't take socks. I don't take toothpaste, toothbrush.
You buy them there?
Absolutely.
No.
You land, you go to the nearest Walmart. Here's the thing. When you travel, and this is anybody, you take a suitcase. You know, a suitcase, maybe one of those roller things. I take a backpack.
No.
And I don't mean like a hiking backpack. I mean like school textbook
backpack. Yeah, I'm too organized.
I have traveled across the country with my Camelback and nothing else.
Okay, I already talked about a situation in Japan with something else.
Yeah.
But I did have a situation with leggings. So I tried that once.
I'm too tall. Either of those problems. So, I'm 6'3", but I don't wear leggings.
I know, but I'm just saying that like you just never know. Or like if you go to a place that doesn't, I don't know. I'm also like super particular about like my skincare routine and my makeup and all that. I could never do that. You like baffle me.
Yeah.
Like I have to make sure Mike's shit is packed.
When
like,
I travel and when I go hiking, I do minimalist.
Well, hiking makes sense.
Yeah.
Hiking, I can understand. Right. And I would have a different situation.
Yeah. If you stop and brush your teeth in the middle of a hike, that's, maybe
the ticks will look at you weird.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe like you've got too many ticks caught in your teeth. Right. It's gone a little weird, but yeah, I'm just saying it's possibly a thing that might work for people is go through your routine in the same way with gaming. Mm-hmm. What are the things you use when you game? Mm-hmm. You show up, you got out your character sheet, your pencil, your dice, whatever. You pass notes during the game. You need a snack. You need this or that. Soda, I don't know.
Wine.
Are you prone to a health problem?
Not having enough bourbon.
Well, are you some? We've got someone in our group right now who gets frequent migraines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, if anything, he uses to treat those. But if I was in his shoes, I would. You know, that's something in my case, it'd be Valium, anxiolytics.
Mm-hmm. Mine's my asthmatic medicine.
Yeah, your albuterol or Blow or whatever it is.
Blow works great.
I mean, that opens a wide to kind of pivot here from the advice we're giving. I want to try and give a different kind of advice now. The game itself. All of this stuff about bug out bags, about underplanning, about overplanning, about getting kind of wound up, about, you know, should we hug or not, or, you know, making people feel comfortable. Again, like Dan said, it's fit to use. You do what you need to do for your group, but all of that's done now. The rubber has hit the road, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually gaming. So what do we do? Is it different? Do we have advice for that first actual game?
Like I said, I think it would be very helpful to just go over everything again.
Yeah.
You know, go over characters, go over like just the general plot. Even if you have met frequently, I feel like you just take in things differently when you're in person versus on virtual. So it might be good to just get everybody on the same page, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that was like the best thing to do. Just make sure everybody's still on the same page.
I think she's got it dead right. But something I would add to that is there are two ideas that usually go together. And I think it is very important to unhitch these two ideas in this situation, which is usually when people do high planning, they also have high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be unhitched here. I mean, don't go nuts planning. Be flexible. Be a little loosey-goosey. Please don't go psycho here. But a degree of planning, I think, is great for all the reasons we just talked about, but hitch that to low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If we get together, we have a good time, we're comfortable, you know, face-to-face, hanging out with each other, that's a success.
Yeah.
That's a win. That's the extent of what you're looking for.
You almost want to treat it like an anime, though, like where they have like those side episodes that are off from the story plot. So maybe that's something you can do if you wanted to try to get something done, is get back in the groove of it by doing something like that, doing an off episode, or like the characters do something quirky and fun, or, you know, just to keep that energy.
So have the Chad and Brandon beach episode OVA.
That's every episode. That's not a side episode.
Oh.
I think that there can be two philosophies here.
Mm-hmm.
One philosophy is the game itself, that session, do it low key, maybe explore some of the side plots. You know, everybody's still getting used to each other. Then there's the other side of it, right? And so the other side, which I think is totally legit with the low key thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. I was going to do something different, and I am going to do something different for the Blades in the Dark game for our first session back. It's the exploding car treatment, where everybody is kind of like staying around, don't know what to do as a game master, have a car blow up. near them. And it's like, oh my God, what's that? And everyone has to spring into action. You don't know why the car blew up as a game master, but you know, you'll figure it out. But they're moving now. But that's sort of what I was going to do, mm-hmm. or am going to do, is I am going to basically hit the guys. Like, once I get them settled and say, okay, now the game is starting, instead of starting with this sort of action that Dan was doing, which was actually a really amazingly good action, I'm going to start with something else, because with Blades, you can kind of play around with time and how things work. And I'm going to have, and I can't say what I'm going to do because we didn't f-ing game last week and it was my fault. And I'm going to do something different, right? I'm going to come at this situation from a different angle, which is going to do this really overused term, is going to subvert their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to put them in a sort of critical thinking mode of, oh, I did not expect to have to deal with that. You know, it's like, I remember what happened the last, because we're not talking about a game that has gone on hiatus here.
Yeah.
We are talking about a not just our Blades in the Dark game, this advice, right? This episode is not about a hiatus game. It's about you've been gaming regularly online.
Mm-hmm. Just not face to face.
Just not face to face. And things are a little different.
Yeah.
So I want, as a game master, I want to hit them. I want them thinking. I want them moving. And I don't want them kind of questioning or getting comfortable. I want them reacting. Right. I don't want them sitting there coming up with plans and ideas and that uncomfortable, oh, well, maybe we have this plan and then somebody makes a joke and, oh, hey, you know, you saw so-and-so last week at the bar. I haven't been to that bar in a year and a half. And suddenly we're not gaming again. No, I want to hit them hard, mm-hmm. and I want them moving now.
Right.
But again, if this were a hiatus, it'd be a little different.
Well, and yeah, I think there's value in both of them.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think back to, like, I'm super in Mass Effect mode because I got the remasters. But like in 3, they released the DLC, if you didn't play it, where you get to have a party with all of your past members. And
is it like a birthday party?
Citadel.
Kind of. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
If you haven't done that DLC and haven't, well, if you...
I'll assume you're talking about Citadel.
Yeah. Where you have all your people over at your house.
Yeah.
And you have a party.
It's a party part?
I'm serious. Like, Rex.
I thought you meant like goes on an adventure.
You actually get to say whether people get drunker.
Wow.
And so then, like, you catch Rex like crying in your shower. Like, it's an amazing DLC.
Yeah.
But they put it in 3 to where you have until a certain point to do it.
And it has another plot.
The
house party is the B plot. I won't even tell you what the A plot is, because it's a huge spoiler. So
it's really good if you haven't played it. The Legendary comes with it, but if you if you're playing just the old versions of it, it's get it. It's worth it. But they put it in a point, and you can't do it past a point where 3 gets really intense, like when all the Earth stuff starts happening.
The train has left the station, you can't go back to the house party.
That would be my advice, is maybe do a house party episode.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you guys can get back into your character amongst each other. Because like I said, I feel like what I've witnessed, at least in my gaming groups, is so many people just are different online versus in person. And so their character's personality changes. So it's kind of like a check on who your character is. You know, like, be Rex crying in a shower. You know what I mean? Like, do that stuff so that you can get reacquainted kind of with your environment again.
I could really back up the statement. I am different online than in person. Mm-hmm. I think back to my Skies of Glass character, Gil, right? Gil, I believe I played him pretty consistently, but there is an aspect of Gil that I haven't played. I wasn't able to play online as much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we joke about Brandon and I have a bromance and that sort of thing. We sat next to each other, and Brandon and I get along really, really great. I really love the guy.
Clearly.
And... our characters always had a sidebar going on, to the point of distraction. We were bad actors in this.
Which, especially with the one Omni mic, it actually did create some problems.
We could do a whole episode on Brandon and I's sins of gaming that we did. But that was actually part of Gil. Gil and Dr. Poe, Brandon's character, had a relationship separate of the plot. They were not docking. Man, your docking totally threw me off. They had a relationship that was separate of the plot,
right.
And we always had this sort of sidebar going on where we had a running commentary. I mean, part of it, sure, was a little bit of peanut gallery distraction, bad stuff for us. But Another part of it was that was very in character. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was very funny, but sometimes it was like, okay, these two characters are talking about real shit going on between them and about other characters that is very much the game.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, yeah, we could have texted that and chatted and had a sidebar and even pulled into a side. No, it's so spontaneous with us.
I'm bad at that. Yeah. Like, we always created, like, in our couple times we've gamed through Discord, we created, like, sidebar rooms, and right. I just never ended up in there. I will say that Zoom has a good setup for that, because you can do, like, that room, but I don't know. I just never could do it.
Yeah.
I just was never good at that.
Yeah, I'm not good. I'm sure some people are.
Yeah.
And I think that's great, but
I feel not. Like I miss out on too much somewhere else if I do that. I don't know. In person, you can still hear and witness.
I can sit here, and I can disrupt the game with Brandon, yet still listen to the game I'm disrupting.
Right. And I also think it's worth noting that while it was somewhat distracting, the bigger issue it caused is it's not completely unique to our group, but it's very unusual, which is we were also trying to accommodate mics and what the mics are
we
picking up.
We had one mic.
And even once we reset it up where everyone has an individual mic, it's still one audio stream.
Yeah, you're still going to pick up some people.
This table side talk, I mean, it can be distracting, but there's ways to limit that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could give advice on this, but once again, it's kind of unique to when you're recording it for a podcast, and I don't know what percentage of our audience that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had some unique struggles there that I don't know would really apply, but nonetheless, that is a point of that is something that the dynamic changes because your ability to just grab someone and to whisper to them without dropping out of the channel.
Yeah, I am in character. Gil had a scene. It was intense. I am in Gil's headspace. Gil is a very intense individual with a lot of problems that I have to put myself in because I'm not Gil, thank God. And that scene ends and Poe is there and I am in that headspace and Brandon's in that headspace and we continue to ping off of each other. It's like you said, though, online, that scene happens and then I have to type on the keyboard, hey, Babs, you want to drop to the other channel? Well, what's it about? Well, it's an in-character thing that we just talked about. What about the Marlene thing? Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, wait, now I have to do.
Well, then if you guys are having a side conversation.
It's gone.
But also say you guys are having a side conversation in the van while other characters are doing something out in front of the van.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, bad guys pop up and shoot the van with a rocket launcher. Okay, where are you guys?
Right.
You
know, well, we're in chat room number 3 having our makeouts.
Can you guys come back? And okay, so this is happening. Wait, what?
Right.
And
where do these vampires come from?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not for that reason. It's not for our usual reason if you were watching Doctor Who porn parodies.
Right.
It's because you guys were having a legitimate in-character moment of character development. Great. Perfectly good gaming content. But it occurs differently in person than it does online.
Well, the Game Master isn't privy to it either.
Right.
So you wouldn't, I shouldn't say that, but they wouldn't get to use it later.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe Dan didn't keep tabs on every single thing Brandon and I were saying, but he was able to get the sense that Gil and Poe had a certain relationship.
And you catch enough select phrases that you could sort of get the gist of, even if you didn't know
Gil
the details.
Gil is upset. Poe is sad. But now Poe is happy and Gil is happy. And okay, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, overhearing three words, wearing her face, I knew instantly what that sidebar was about.
Right.
And if you listen to actual play, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, ap.feartheboot.com. Yeah.
I mean, it's only what, like 60 episodes that are 4 to 8 hours a piece? I mean,
sure.
You just blast through that.
Yeah, exactly. Just get that done tonight.
Yeah.
And
write a report.
Write a report. Let us know what you thought. So.
I would love to read a one-page book report on this guy's
podcast. One page. That would be a writing exercise.
That's the exercise.
Especially if you don't
don't play around with the margins. I mean, it's
you have to write it double-spaced.
Yeah, write it double-spaced in a 12-point regular font. Anyway. Yeah.
And you just you just can't repeat Gil is an a**hole over and over and over again.
Well, because Gil wasn't even there in the first half of the game.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Anyway.
He's in prison. In space.
I hope everyone is still doing okay and you guys have made it through these whatever times without too much damage to your life. Maybe you're doing great. You know, if that's the case, hey, more power to you. Or maybe you're not. If that's the case, no, there's, you know, people out there that love you and care about you and still want you to keep on keeping on. So as for, well, everyone, have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2021. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.